The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Second down and goal from the five. Willis keeps on the zone read, bouncing towards the goal line. Touchdown!
I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it. I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it. What he's been able to do is, I've never seen something like that.
A rough start the first couple of weeks for Levis as he goes to the air. It's intercepted! Jair Alexander high-stepping for six!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Willis with pressure coming. Swings it to Wilson. He's got blockers in front. Wilson inside the 20. A convoy in front. Wilson all the way in for his first NFL touchdown.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Second and 10 at the 31. Levis, pressure, and he's blasted. Ball is out. Still loose on the turf. Packers have it. Five-man pressure. Levis goes down again. Lucky number seven.
Really happy for our guys and proud of their effort. Whatever, keep going, keep firing away. They told me this city was going to burn if we came in here and won the game, so I guess it is.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Studios with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
That might be the best thing Matt LaFleur has said in the last 2 weeks. Okay? There's a lot of stuff said by the head coach of the Green Bay Packers. That line right there about the city burning if they came in and won, best thing he said. Packers do get the victory 30, let me repeat that, 30-14. Did anyone have the Packers putting up 30 points this weekend, guys? I know here at ESPN Milwaukee, ESPN Wisconsin, we put our predictions out there, right? I think Maddie Hayes and company, they collect the predictions. Did anyone have the Packers putting up 30 points this weekend on the Titans?
The only one who might have, I didn't see the graphic that went out, but I know I saw Gary's individual tweet. Gary Ellerson had the Packers at 31 points.
Woo! A heck of a performance by the Green Bay Packers on offense and defense and special teams. If you haven't gotten a chance to watch the Matt LaFleur post-game handing out the game balls, I suggest if you are riding high from yesterday's game, you take a look at that. It will only take you out up further into the stratosphere. And we have to. We must. We cannot go any deeper into the show without talking about Malik Willis. We just can't. Like, you cannot overstate. You cannot talk enough, glowingly enough, give him all the flowers for what that young man has done. Having less than a month to figure out the offense, to understand what his role was, to be able to lead this team not only down the field, to the end zone, but to victory in back-to-back weeks, Gabe, this was as improbable as anything else we have seen in the NFL. And yet here we are, 2 weeks of Malik Willis, and the Packers went 2-0.
Well, and that, I think it comes down to LaFleur. I think it comes down to Tom Clements. And I think it comes down to the coaching staff. They didn't ask him to do anything he wasn't capable of doing. They simplified everything. They continued to run the football. And, yeah, they didn't rush it over 50 times and have 261 yards rushing. But they went, okay, well, they're probably going to be expecting more, you know, Josh Jacobs and all those things. What if we design more plays for Malik to run? Malik, you're athletic. You can handle those. We know you can handle those. They didn't give him anything he couldn't handle, and he wasn't overwhelmed. They didn't just throw a ton of information at him and hope, well, hopefully 75% of this sticks. They simplified everything down, and they figured out what he could do, and they played to those strengths. And that's what a really good coaching staff does.
Malik Willis's numbers yesterday are impressive. 13 of 19 for 202 yards and 73 yards rushing, as Gabe mentioned. He also found the end zone. And while you think about, like, the whole scope of the NFL, that would not jump off the page. But there's context here. You have to recognize the situation that he was in, the situation that the Packers were in. We were saying, man, could they go 1-1 in the two game, right? Because I think, and I want to put this out there, I think Jordan Love will be back next week. I think Jordan Love is on the field when they take on the Vikings. We will get to that as the show goes on. We also want to open up the phone lines to you all morning long, 800-990-3776, to celebrate, to relish in the Packers' 30-14 victory over the Tennessee Titans. So I think Jordan Love will be back. I think going 2-0 is was mind-blowing, especially considering all of the things that were said by all of the people in the know. I want to be clear on this. When we were talking, headed into last week and into this week, about Malik Willis's deficiencies, we were not fan-fictioning this. We were not fabricating this. This was not like, how fun would it be to act as though this guy has struggled? The proof was in the pudding. The proof was in Tennessee. The proof was that the Tennessee Titans moved on from him, were willing to trade him away. The proof was all of the scouts who were collected by all of the journalists, all of the reporters, who didn't think that this guy could succeed at this level. I mean, so to your point, Gabe.
There's still a general manager out there who doesn't think he can play.
What do you mean?
There's a story in The Athletic today, just kind of talking about the NFC North, how well it's doing. And there is a GM quoted saying, in terms of ranking the head coaches in the division, Matt LaFleur is second. He's done a great job with Malik Willis, who I don't think can play. That is from an NFL general manager.
It's amusing to make him still second after that.
I agree.
A guy who can't play now in
behind
two games.
Kevin O'Connell, unless you really, really, really were down on Sam Darnold, which is distinctly possible as well.
But, I mean, let's be honest. Which, we can get to that when we talk about the Vikings, because I saw a tweet about Sam Darnold yesterday that I probably should have known, but didn't, and it blew my mind.
All right, well, that was a very good tease by you. So how did they do it, right? Because that's the big question, is we all saw it happen. How did they do it? Is it just that Matt LaFleur is such a good coach, he is so good at play calling, he is so good at scheming up guys, that this is where we are? Because to that point, like, I don't want to go backwards, but like a lot of the criticisms and a lot of the conversation when Aaron Rodgers was under center was that oftentimes, do I have a percentage? I don't. This is more nebulous than that. But oftentimes Aaron was sort of ad-libbing. He was running his own thing. He was not running the plays always that Matt LaFleur called. So we saw Jordan Love last year have a lot of success in the second half of the season as they continued to evolve and grow. How do you explain him being able to capture lightning in a bottle 2 weeks in a row with Malik Willis, Gabe?
Well, it's complimentary football because you need something on the other side as well, right? Like if the Packers, because to get to 30 points, the Packers needed a defensive touchdown yesterday, which, again, there's nothing wrong with defensive touchdowns. They're fun. And the defense was able to provide that. They had two more interceptions yesterday, creating more turnovers, creating pressure. And that allowed, you know, the offense to do what they wanted to do. And honestly, it's about, for this team, when Malik Willis has been the starting quarterback, starting fast and getting that lead to allow the defense to play the way that it wants to play, quick, downhill, aggressive.
And how do you do that? Well, you obviously, we always talk about how you schedule, you plan, you have that first 15 where you know where you want to go. Chewy has walked us through it before. He has explained to us how when things go awry, when you think you'll be facing first and 10, but you're facing third and long, how you can ad lib, how you can adjust. But if you script those plays, that takes some of the thinking out of it, doesn't it? That takes some of the processing out of it, doesn't it? Right?
Well, you still have to process the play.
Sure, you can see something different. The defense can show you something other than what you think they're going to show you. But for the most part, you're trying to say, this is where we want the ball to go, so put it there.
Yeah, but I mean, again, but that's for Malik, it's still being able to process what he's seeing. But also, again, you're paring down how big the offensive playbook is. And to be able to run some of the play action stuff that they did this week off of what they did last week, what they did this week, that was, and again, Matt LaFleur, these 2 weeks, it might be some of the best coaching he's done. And oh, by the way, I wouldn't be shocked to see a lot of this running stuff stick around. You know this offensive line can run block now. I'm not saying that, you know, Jordan Love's going to become a runner like Malik Willis, but you're probably going to be seeing some lighter boxes with Jordan Love at quarterback. I don't think they're going to dare you to throw the ball the way that they want to dare Malik Willis. Mm. And that could open up some things for Emmanuel Wilson. That could open up things for Josh Jacobs.
Sure. And based on the things that we saw and heard out of 1265 over the last week or so, it wouldn't surprise me if they go ahead and put that out there into the universe like you just did to try to keep defenses on their toes. I personally do not want to see Jordan Love running the football as frequently as a Malik Willis.
Well,
I think
I'm not saying
risks with a backup quarterback Malik Willis than you would with Jordan
Love. That's what
Love.
I'm saying. I mean, he's not going to run the football. football. The Packers are going to run the football. I'm saying more of the stuff they did last week with Josh Jacobs. Like, I think that this reaffirmed, especially as you're trying to figure some things out along your offensive line, and Jordan Morgan didn't play yesterday. He was out, so you didn't have the rotation at right guard. But as you continue to figure that out, like, I mean, just running the ball downhill and being a more balanced team is going to be something I think the Packers are going to be the rest of the year. I think figuring out these 2 weeks that you can be that good at running the football is going to be beneficial to this team going forward.
Let's hear from Matt LaFleur talking about his quarterback Malik Willis yesterday in a victory for the green and gold.
I just cannot articulate the job that he's done in the short period of time. People can't fathom it. I promise you. You guys don't get it. I know you think you got it, but you don't get it. What he's been able to do is I've never seen something like this. So hats off to him. Hats off to everybody around him. Guys rallying, having his back. You know, I think Tom Clements does a great job. And it wouldn't, you know, I'd be remiss to say Connor Lewis and Sean Mannion. Just the help they've given him, the support. Jordan Love's been instrumental as well. Just giving him the tips and hanging right by his side and helping him out all along the way.
Do you think that the Titans regret letting Malik Willis go after what they saw yesterday? And similarly, and you know, it's got to be the other side of the coin, what they saw from Will Levis yesterday, Gabe?
Nah, I don't think so, because Will Levis is still a better player. Like, overall. I mean, Matt LaFleur's just better coaching staff.
But what does that say about the state of coaching in the NFL? I mean, again, when we talk about the NBA, there is some idea that maybe coaching doesn't matter as much as it does in other sports. I would say in football, coaching matters. It matters who you have scheming guys up. It matters what plays you have. It matters how creative you can be. Chewy is always here. He's not here today, so that was weird. Chewy is always here, not today. Chewy is always saying about Andy Reid, one of the best things about him is his ability to play call. And we see it on Sundays, right? Like, how big of a difference does it make to have a competent slash elite guy calling the plays when you're, especially when you're in a position like this?
Well, it's not just the play caller. It's somebody that can, you know, having a Tom Clements around. I think those things are huge. Absolutely huge for Malik Willis. We've talked about this with, I mean, where you land as a player. I know Jason's talked about it with Chewy, with Tausch, with some of the guys we have here on ESPN Milwaukee. But even, like, think about Brett Favre. Like, if Brett Favre spent his first 4 years in Atlanta, is he a Hall of Famer? Probably not. He probably drinks himself out of the league because his coach didn't believe in him, because his coach didn't care about it. And he comes to Green Bay, has Wolf believe in him, has Holmgren believe in him, and they're able to get him to have one of the best careers in NFL history. Take a look at what, I mean, take a look at what's happening with Minnesota and Green Bay right now. Both with their backup quarterbacks. Minnesota's 3-0. And Sam Darnold's playing some of the best football that he's ever played. We see Malik Willis going from this guy can't play to winning back-to-back weeks. And down in Chicago, Caleb Williams is obviously very talented. Had 383 yards passing yesterday. That coaching staff is not putting him in a position to succeed. They're putting him in terrible spots. They're not. Same thing if you want to take a look at what's happening down in Carolina. They didn't put somebody in Bryce Young in a position to succeed. It's so important to have a great coach like Matt LaFleur so he can, and he's learned from past mistakes, because he didn't put Jordan Love in a great position to succeed when he had to start for Aaron Rodgers back in 2021. So I'm sure he learned from, okay, we probably asked Jordan to do too much in that game. We probably asked him to be too much like Aaron when we needed him to be, you know, a simpler version of that. And I think he learned from those mistakes, and this coaching staff has put players in a position to succeed.
Malik Willis in two games with the Packers, 25 of 33 for 324 yards, two touchdowns, no turnovers, and a 126.3 passer rating, 800-990-3776. Your opportunity to weigh in all morning long on what you saw from Malik Willis and the Green Bay Packers, and look, as Gabe mentioned, this was a complimentary victory. This was a complimentary win. You had the defense supporting the offense. You had special teams supporting. I do think there are some things the Packers need to clean up. The penalties in this game, frustrating. Still, there were opportunities where they put points on the board, take points off the board, things like that. But the other thing that stood out to me positively was the explosive plays. This is not an offense, to be honest with you, that with Jordan Love sitting on the sideline, I thought could produce a lot of explosive plays. And I believe they had 7 on the day. 7 explosive plays from this team with this offense and this quarterback, to me, was another tip of the cap to Matt LaFleur. Figuring out a way where you can stretch the field. You know, obviously some of them were in the passing game. We saw Christian Watson get involved right away on that first drive. We were wondering, last week. How much of an impact Christian Watson could have on this game, considering Malik Willis's limitations. That was huge. So the explosive plays were there. I just think that this was another incident where we cannot say enough about what the offense did, given the situation that they were in. And now, again, with Jordan Love, I think, coming back this week to play against the Vikings, because that seems to have been the timeline that we heard from the very beginning from reporters like Adam Schefter, from people like Diana Rossini, people who have connected with people in the know. It always felt like this was what they were targeting. So you not only survived Jordan Love's injury this season, Gabe, you thrived in it. I didn't have that on my bingo card. I'm not going to lie. I did not have that as something the Packers could do.
The unfortunate part of the timing of the injury is, how sharp is Jordan going to be now? Because I was taking a look at these first three, maybe even 4 weeks, but I think three was more realistic as the new NFL preseason. Everybody's been through that now, and you're kind of now starting to churn out. Jordan hadn't missed the last two. And this is going to be a huge matchup going into Sunday against Minnesota.
So is there part of you that thinks that they should scale back the playbook for him? For their starter, for the $150-plus million man?
No. Because Brian Flores and that Vikings defense is going to be ready to go. You need to be in your bag in 6 days. You need to be ready to go for what that Vikings defense is going to throw at you. And you need to have as many plays in the playbook as you possibly can.
800-990-3776. Get us your reaction to the victory yesterday. What was your biggest takeaway from the win against the Titans? Your biggest takeaway, 800-990-3776. We roll on right after this, Gabe.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's, Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Have you never had a good pie?
I've had fine pies.
You get no pie.
Right now, yeah.
I mean, seems that way anyway. But if we get him on those dating sites, it feels like maybe he could.
Yeah. On 94.5 ESPN.
They bring pressure. Levis in trouble, and down he goes. Packers bring the heat. Kingsley Enagbare and Preston Smith there to bring him down.
Four turnovers, two interceptions. What does that bring the total to, Gabe Neitzel?
Well, they have seven interceptions now this year, which is, you know, the same amount of interceptions they had all of last year.
All of last year. Entire season.
17 games.
All of the regular season games.
Correct.
So this is better then?
Well, not yet.
Correct. It's even with.
Technically, they could go interceptionless for the final 14 games and tie the mark. So right now, they're just even.
I understand that you guys think I'm a bad bettor, that I place bad bets. But I would place a bet on the fact that they are going to get another interception over the last, how many games is it now? 17, 14? 14 games of the season, right?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, even the worst teams have one bounce into their hands at some point.
Fall into a pick, do you?
Speaking of bets, how'd you do this weekend?
You
were 6-5 heading into the weekend.
Couple of bad beats. I really got hosed by the edge. Did anybody see how the Baylor-Colorado game ended? Fantastic football, eh?
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable for people who did not have Baylor the money line, which was 3, by the way. So lost that one because Colorado won straight up in double overtime or overtime?
In double overtime.
And I also was fading Florida State because, well, they're bad at football.
Yeah.
But apparently the trip from California to Florida really did in Cal, because Florida State ended up getting, congratulations to Mike Norvell and company for getting their first win of the season. But again, I lost that bet. But those are the only two I lost. I'll pull out my bet slips a little later.
Okay.
Those two.
So you had a winning weekend?
I think I have the Bengals tonight.
Okay.
7.5 favorites. I've got the Bengals in that one. Benny Brust has the Commanders in that one. 7.5 dogs. So one of us will be right. Yes, I'm really hoping it's me.
Well, I was about to say, Wednesday's show for you is either going to be very enjoyable or not fun at all.
That's a very good point, because Ben can be tough to be around when he wins. But that's neither here nor there. Do the Packers now have a defense, Gabe? Are we now, and there was some hesitation. Chewy, for one, wanted to see a little bit more from Jeff Hafley, et cetera, et cetera. Have you seen enough, or do you need to see it against tougher competition?
I need to see it against tougher competition. And I don't want to take away what yesterday was.
Was that a joke? Was that a defense joke?
No, it wasn't.
Takeaway?
No, no, it was not. I could, because I don't want to diminish 8 sacks. I don't want to diminish the interceptions. Because there were times last year where the Packers played really bad quarterbacks. Trying to figure out a way to say, you know, not the bad word that you're not allowed. Yeah. And those bad quarterbacks had quite possibly literally career games against the Green Bay Packers.
Like who?
Bryce Young.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, like, well, he was, did he go over 300 yards passing?
300 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, his best career game, maybe the one best one he'll ever have.
Came against the Packers?
Correct. Yeah.
Well, that's not great. So that's one example. Well, that's one. You can't possibly have another example.
You remember Tommy DeVito?
Unfortunately, I do.
Okay, well, you've got
Slightly
Tommy DeVito.
Overshadowed by his agent, but yes, I remember
Way
Tommy
overshadowed
DeVito.
By his agent at this point. So you got Tommy DeVito. I mean, not that Baker Mayfield's bad, but to have a perfect passer rating at Lambeau Field, not great.
So is that three examples of Joe Barry's defense not showing up against quarterbacks who now the rest of the league has shown are not very good?
Yes, that would be correct. So even though they were playing a quarterback who is learning, growing, not very good right now in Will Levis, and they were able to do all those things, that's good. That's what you're supposed to do against that. But also the one game they have against a good offense was not a good result.
Yeah, it was also bad timing because it was the first game of the season. And if you're giving everybody the opportunity, you just mentioned Will Levis, who is growing, who is learning. Mm-hmm. I think you have to give the benefit of the doubt to the defense as well that is growing and learning out there.
Sure, but I mean, last week the run defense still wasn't very good. You got Aaron Jones this next weekend. You got Justin Jefferson this next weekend. I need to see it more consistently because I'm not going to rush out there the way Aaron Rodgers did in 2019. Oh, we've got a defense! And then that defense allowed 6,272 yards rushing against the San Francisco 49ers in an NFC Championship game. So yes, yesterday, good. That's what you're supposed to do against inferior opponents. Now do it against a good team. Do it against a team that we think has the, I guess now, the Vikings are going to make a push for the playoffs. Do it against a team like that, that's played that well, that was able to put up 34 points against a pretty darn good Houston Texans team yesterday.
Were they the only team? Was there another team? I mean, Packers put 30 up, and I was like, whoa, that might lead the league this week. And Vikings, like you mentioned, go out and put 34 up. There may have been one other team that put up a big number over 30.
Yeah, you want to know who
Carolina
it was?
Carolina Panthers.
Ah, yes. Just like we predicted, just as we expected. Called that one. We will talk as the show goes on about next week's matchup against the Vikings because it is much more interesting now than I thought it was going to be a few weeks ago. 800-990-3776. Xavier McKinney is a freaking stud. That is Jamie in Orlando's biggest takeaway from the victory. 3 interceptions in 3 games. The guy is everything we hoped he would be and more. Do you agree with that assessment?
Yeah, McKinney's been great. McKinney's been fantastic. And it's more than just the interceptions. It's the way he's kind of, to me, the leader of that defense. McKinney's been fantastic. Like, the zero notes about Xavier McKinney. And zero worries about him.
Look, you could make the argument that we just didn't have a player like that last season with Joe Barry. I don't think that's the argument we want to make. I think a lot of people believe that Joe Barry had deficiencies, that he did not put all of these guys in positions to succeed. I liked the progress we have seen from Quay Walker yesterday. I know you have been out on him, rolling your eyes so... Holy crap.
Oh, Quay went poop on the potty.
The
great for you, bud.
The light of the eyes that I just saw from Jeez. Gabe Neitzel, who rolled his eyes so dramatically. I thought there was an exorcism happening in the studio as we speak. I liked what I saw from Quay Walker yesterday. And can we talk for a moment about Jaire Alexander? Jaire Alexander, who, you know, at one point was paid as the highest cornerback in the league, was expected to be one of the elite guys there at that defensive back position. And last year was not great. And he did make the point that he was being misused. It was very obvious that he and Joe Barry did not see eye to eye, to the point that it felt like, Gabe, at times he was acting out. You mentioned poop on the potty, right?
Yeah.
Like childish stuff. There were times where Jaire was acting out, right? I feel like now he feels like he has been given the freedom, and he got his first career pick 6 yesterday. That was an astounding stat for me. I had no idea that Jaire Alexander, for all of the glowing and all of the talk that we have about him, had never in his collegiate or professional career, taken one to the house.
Yeah, but again, Jaire, I need more consistency. Because week one, all right, you're playing the way you want. Guess what you did? Got toasted by A.J. Brown.
And talked some crap, too,
yeah,
in the process.
Correct. Like, so, yes, it's good that you have that game yesterday, but it's about... In the NFL, it's about, okay, great. Now can you do it on a consistent basis? That was what we talked about with Jordan. Hey, you had a great second half of the year. Now you got to run it back because that's what the great teams do. Great defenses, good defenses, defenses you win championships with. Yes, this is what they do against the bad teams. Can you do it against the good teams?
Are the Vikings a good team?
Yes.
How did we miss on that so badly?
Well, because Sam Darnold...
just Darnold. That's it.
It's 100% it. Because we liked the rest of the roster. Like, we talked about the offensive weapons, and Jordan Addison didn't play yesterday, but the weapons that Minnesota has, Aaron Jones, Justin Jefferson, TJ Hawkinson, like, the weapons they have were fantastic. It's, okay, well, J.J. McCarthy, either it's going to be a rookie, or it's going to be Sam Darnold, who's bounced around the league. All right, Minnesota's...
Classic journeyman in the NFL.
Yeah, who failed in San Francisco, a place where even the worst quarterbacks can look competent.
Well, because you got Shanahan, right?
Like, correct.
This idea that he can put you... Again, Brock Purdy is the example of being put in a position to succeed.
So, the fact that he has looked as good as he has looked through 3 weeks, I mean, that's Kevin O'Connell, and that's why... He's probably looked at as the front runner for coach of the year in the first month of the season.
It's funny because I talk occasionally to Jordan Palmer, who is his, Sam Darnold's, personal quarterback coach. We've talked about this. He coaches a lot of the guys. Josh Allen is on his roster. Desmond Howard is on. Howard, ha! Desmond Ritter is on his roster.
I was about to say, I didn't realize Desmond was making a comeback. He's leaving you guys on college game
day? To play quarterback in the NFL. Can you believe it, Gabe?
Good for him.
That's just when your brain goes into autopilot. You say the word Desmond and your brain just fills it in like you're texting,
right?
Good
for Desmond, thinking he had something left in the tank.
Yeah, he was playing hurt this weekend, by the way. He is dealing with some sciatica, so he was playing hurt this weekend on college game day. Anyway, the point about Jordan Palmer is he has been telling me for years, he's just got to get in the right place. And you had talked about it. Fit is so important in the NFL. He just keeps saying, he's got to get in the right place. We're going to move him around until he gets in the right place. They feel like he is absolutely in the right place with a elite passing mind, a elite quarterback mind in Kevin O'Connell, who I think last year was like, yeah, Kirk is fine. I can work with Kirk. I can get some stuff done with Kirk, but always wanted to kind of upgrade that position. I don't know if Sam Darnold is an upgrade to Kirk Cousins.
I would make the argument of no.
I think that the league would generally agree with you. How did that game shake out last night, by the way?
They lost.
Yeah, they lost.
Oh, okay.
Kansas City won.
Okay. I went to bed, so.
Yeah.
I do want to say, like, Gabe's right. You got to keep proving it. This is how this thing works. But Xavier McKinney right now is, like, in the Charles Woodson vein of guy who can change the face and, like, total attitude of a defense. Well, not player style. I'm not comparing him to a Hall of Famer in his fourth year, fifth year in the NFL. But in terms of a guy that kind of changes how everything operates, he's done that, like, in a way you wouldn't have ever even imagined so far.
Yeah, and, I mean, if Joe Barry would have had him, he'd have had him 25 yards away from the line of scrimmage, just kind of hanging out instead of roaming around and making plays. So again, these are all good things.
Yes.
But it's a matter of you played one team right now that has a win, because the Colts, I guess, did pull off a win against the Bears yesterday.
No one wanted that one.
That was a tough one. But against the Eagles, you failed. You gave up over 400 yards. You gave up over 30 points. You gave up a bunch of yards on the ground, and you failed that. So now you're going to have another. You're going to have another opportunity. That's the great thing. Got an opportunity against the Vikings. What do you do against a team that has that kind of weapons with a quarterback who's playing that good?
800-990-3776. Keep getting us your reaction all morning long. Craig wants to know, where is Musgraves? I guess we'll talk about that as the game goes on, as the show goes on this morning. Brandon Crawford weighing in saying, let's not forget Ryan Tannehill throwing for 333 yards, two touchdowns against a Joe Barry defense. Excellent point.
It's another good one. Happened on a Thursday, so I try to forget that one. And it was Ryan Tannehill, so I really try to forget that one.
You mentioned Xavier McKinney. We have also talked about Josh Jacobs, obviously the success that he had last week. And we have talked a lot in the first half hour of the show about Malik Willis. You know who went out there and got all of those guys? Brian Gutekunst. Is it time to give Brian Gutekunst his flowers, give him his respect, give him his props for bringing in players who have, this early in the season, had immediate and large impacts on the team's success?
So I asked that same question yesterday in the pregame show because of McKinney and Jacobs, the way they've started the season, to Brian Bulaga, John Anderson. And John likened it to when he first started his career, and after like an election coverage, they took him out for, you know, took him out, you know, after they had that long night of election coverage, they had a bar, and news director picked up the tab. Well, the next election cycle, they did the same thing, but the news director didn't pick up the tab, and everybody's like, what's going on? He's like, well, I shouldn't have to, like, you know, buy you guys drinks every time you do your job. So he likened that to, Brian Gutekunst right now is doing his job. So we're going to give him his flowers for doing his job. That was the point, that was the counterpoint he made to, hey, yeah, you went out there and got those guys, good for you. Also, that's your job, man.
I guess it depends on what curve you're grading on. I guess it depends on what success rate you expect from an elite GM, right? Because if you expect them to hit on every single one of their picks, guess what? Everyone is going to fail if that's your metric. If you expect it to be 50%, hit on 50% of your picks. Or if you have a sliding scale, like you have said in the past, where you have to hit more frequently on the top picks, and you have a little bit more flexibility.
But we're not talking about picks.
For error.
We're talking about paying big time money. And that's, you, like, that's got to be higher than 50. Like, that's got to be damn close to 90 to 100%. When you're doling out the money in the NFL, you better be doling out the money to the right people. And that's, and again, that's where the hit rate has to be higher.
800-990-3776. We have seen guys that Brian Gutekunst went out and grabbed to add to this roster who are difference makers, who have been difference makers early in the season. Are you ready to say, huh, it's a pretty good job by the GM? Pretty happy with the guys he went out there and got. 800-990-3776. Lots of reaction rolling in. The talk and text line is popping off. We will get to some of your reaction right after this.
No assessments ever. No food and beverage minimums ever. That's right. Join me at the Wisconsin Country Club for a great golf experience. Beautiful golf course that's challenging. That's what I love about the Wisconsin Country Club. I love being able to go out there, use the practice range and all the different practice facilities to work on my game. But maybe you want to join a country club, not just for the golf like me, but because you have a young family and you want to take advantage of pool and tennis and pickleball and all these other great things that can happen. And that's what the Wisconsin Country Club can provide for you. They've got themed Sunday Fundays at the pool all summer long as well. For more information, just check out the website, thewisconsincountryclub.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Is it against the law to be a moron or not?
The law,
not yet.
I texted this to Jen earlier. The law does protect some people from things that are called an attractive nuisance.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Carrie and Mabel weighing in saying, good morning all. My observation of the defense is they seem excited. They seem to have energy. Last year they seemed so flat, like they were just showing up. And Chewy has talked about how when you're uninspired, when you don't feel like your coach is putting you in positions to succeed, it does sort of feel like punching the clock. You know, you're walking in, you punch the timesheet, you hang out on the field a little bit, hang out on the sideline a little bit, and you can't wait to get back to the locker room, pack up your stuff, and head home. And I think she's right. I think Carrie is right that they have looked excited. They have looked inspired. They have looked like they want to be there. And hopefully that continues, and hopefully Jeff Hafley continues. And that's the thing. We always know that there's a progression here. You build on what you've done. You keep adding, adding. The last thing you do is show all your good stuff in the first quarter of the season. But now they're going up against a division opponent. And I had said on Wilde and Tausch's Boldathon, which was now almost a month ago, that I thought my bold take was Packers could run the table in the North. They could win every game against every team twice this season. We will see, because Gabe, it feels like now you feel like, I know I do, this now will be much more of a test than I thought it was going to be headed into the season. I thought the Vikings would be the team that you could just show up, walk out on the field, hit the sideline and all that. No, now you got to come to play.
Yeah, this was... It's funny because when we started the season and because of how we felt about the Vikings, we knew that the Eagles game was going to be tough, but then, oh, Colts, Titans, you know, before you have this run where you're playing the Rams, the Texans, the Jags, all those sorts of things, man, this Vikings team is, they're for real. But okay, you beat San Francisco, okay, any given Sunday. But then to back it up and play as well as they did, against a Houston Texans team that's looked pretty good in the first 2 weeks as well. I don't think this team's going anywhere. I think the combination of Brian Flores as defensive coordinator and Kevin O'Connell as their head coach and play caller on offense is... It is going to be a tall task. It is going to be a nice test. Okay, you've played well against the Colts. You've played well against the Titans. All right, defense, let's see if we can back it up. I think it's a nice test for them to see how they measure up against an offense that has great weapons.
And just to keep it on the Packers sideline, because I don't want to act like I can diagnose or I can X's and O's my way through the Vikings right now, but to keep it on the Packers side of things, there is a hesitation from you that this will be Jordan Love's first game after these 2 weeks off. If, again, he is back out there, I think he will be. I think the timeline has always been that this was kind of the game his people were circling to get him back out there on the field. So there's a concern level from you of, okay, not saying, like one of the folks in the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line said earlier, where I asked Joshy, can you get the bleep button ready? Not the dump button, but the bleep button ready. Somebody said, why wouldn't you just ride with Malik Willis the rest of I'm sorry. I was trying to get it out.
The rest of what? The rest of the way?
Anyway, I don't want to get into that because I was absolutely like, what? He said, why would you put Love back in? What are you actually gaining? Why not ride out Willis? The team looks so good with him in.
Ride him out to what? Like, until he looks bad? Oh, shoot, we should have started Jordan this week.
Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is part of you is like, this is not the team I want Jordan stepping back out on the field against.
It would have been nice if it was a team that wasn't playing as well as the Minnesota Vikings is. Because Jordan, obviously, he didn't play great against the Eagles. I don't think, not that he can't. And look, yes, you're playing Jordan Love. He is your starter. You paid him $55 million per year. You do that. He's your starter. He goes in whenever he is healthy. So, yes, I want him against the Vikings. But, yeah, are there some nerves for me in terms of, well, you haven't really practiced, or you were limited. He was limited, if you happen to miss that last week. So you didn't practice for a week, now you're limited, not really doing everything that you can in practice, and now you're jumping back in there with only really one game under your belt. Like, do we expect Jordan to be super sharp? Do we expect him to be really good? I just don't know what the expectation should be coming off of a two-week injury where you didn't really have preseason, you didn't look good in the one regular season.
Okay, but let me try to temper your concern a smidge. If Matt LaFleur can do what he did with Malik Willis, recognizing his deficiencies, recognizing where he might lose the game for them and scheme around it, don't you think that he can recognize that his starting quarterback, the franchise quarterback, might have a little rust, might need to work his way into the offense, and maybe he can scheme him in a way where it's like, hey, we recognize you've been out with the MCL for the last 2 weeks trying to get healthy. We recognize that, so we're not going to put too much on your plate early on, but as the game goes on and you get warmed up and you shake off that rust, then you're going to get the full Jordan Love experience.
I don't think you can get away with having a simple game plan against the Minnesota Vikings. I think you can get away with having a simple game plan against the Colts, against the Titans, as well as the Vikings are playing right now. We need to win the game, I think, a full-level Jordan Love.
And you're afraid that that might not be the case because of the
coming
injury
off the injury. And again, because there wasn't really a preseason, right? I mean, did he look sharp against the Philadelphia Eagles?
No, but neither did the rest of the league.
Well, some teams did, some teams didn't. Some teams look better than
See,
others.
See, that's the issue with where we are in the NFL right now. I keep trying to measure and gauge whether or not teams are good or not based on who they're playing. But I don't have a baseline. I don't have a baseline.
There's only one thing. I even lost the one thing that I thought I knew two things
Panthers,
about the NFL. Yep. I thought the Panthers were bad, then they scored 36
so
points.
Whatever so whatever you're about to say is losing its credibility by the second.
Well, no, there's, and this will stay true for the rest of the season. There's one thing that's true in the NFL. The Chiefs are good.
So my point is, as I'm trying to measure where teams rank from good to bad on that scale, I'm using their opponents and who they're playing and how badly they beat them or how, you know, tight the contest is to try to determine the pecking order. And the problem is that keeps flip-flopping, right? Like, that keeps changing it week by week. Browns win last week. Looked atrocious this week. Couldn't have done it last week when I placed a bet on the Browns, could they have? That would have been too convenient for me. The point is, we're using these games to try to determine who's good, and I don't know if it's the most reliable information is my point.
But without playing, so Jordan didn't look sharp, so now he's going to get sharp by not playing for 2 weeks? That's my issue. So these other teams that didn't look sharp in week one that have been able to play now the last couple of weeks and are starting to look better because they've been able to play. And again, I'm not saying Jordan Love is bad. I'm just saying I want him to be sharp against the Vikings to give the Packers the best chance possible. I'm concerned about him being as sharp as he needs to be.
And I'm saying if we recognize that that might be a possibility, I imagine that Matt LaFleur and company et al., whose livelihoods depend on the outcomes of these games, would also recognize that that could be a possibility. And
but you can't dumb down the offense. Against the Vikings. You can't.
Well, you don't dumb it down, but maybe, again, you allow him to kind of get comfortable again in the pocket behind the offensive line. Maybe it is a little bit more short yardage stuff. Maybe you are seeing more screens early in the game, and it's not so much of, like, air it out, go downfield, or whatever it ends up being. They're going to know Jordan Love's quote-unquote limitations better than we are. Right now, we're just hypothesizing about that there may be some because he's coming off of 2 weeks on the sideline rehabbing that MCL. But I'm more optimistic, I think is what I'm saying, that if they can do what they did with Malik Willis, they can put Jordan Love in a position to succeed.
Yeah, but a Jordan then has to succeed. He has to be sharp. He can't be inaccurate the way he was against. Like, you're going to have to throw the ball more than 19 times. You're going to have to throw the ball more than 14 times in order to beat the Minnesota Vikings. That's just a fact of life. That's just the way it is.
I think we're underreacting to the Packers just being a damn good roster and a really strong team that can win in multiple ways, that have the ability with the head coach. I feel like we need to stop. Hard stop. Never again doubt Matt LaFleur. If he's going to be put in a disadvantageous situation with a quarterback with injuries, stop doubting him. He's going to figure it out. He's that good. He is amongst the top play callers in the NFL that there are. Malik Willis, I don't feel like we've given enough credit for a guy who's played well in two back-to-back games to allow the Packers to win. The defense, creating turnovers, hand over fist, all the time. We were worried about the pass rush.
And they're probably never going to lose again, right, Josh?
They're probably just going to go
16-1.
You've underreacted to two consecutive wins and given me excuses on everything. They're a good team.
The narrative
on the Vikings can change in 1 week. If the Packers go in and beat them, the narrative's gone. They're not that good.
And the narrative on the defense that you were just espousing about, if they give up 5 touchdowns next
great.
Week, it then just goes away
it.
Too.
I haven't seen it happen.
Again, except for week one.
Like, we have to stop, like, protecting everything. They're a good team. They were good last year. They were a couple plays away from ending up in an NFC Championship game, and now with the backup quarterback, they went out and dropped 30 on the head, turn them over 3 times to get 8 sacks. Like, what do you want from them? They can only win what's in front of them, and these past two games have been incredible. The Packers have looked like one of the best teams in the NFL with Malik Willis
putting up 16 points against the Colts. I wouldn't say is incredible. They've looked good.
Malik Willis passed the ball like 12 times.
They've looked good.
They ran the ball for almost 300 yards.
They looked good. Yes, they have looked good the last 2 weeks. Have they looked incredible? No.
Yesterday was a masterful performance.
Yes, it was really good.
Top to bottom.
Against a team that's going to win how many games?
Well, but that team was also supposed to be better than the Colts, like you told me last week. Will Levis isn't the worst quarterback ever. He's not the best. But they took advantage of him and they put him in spots to fail because Jeff Hafley brought pressure at the right time. The players made plays on defense.
So we should never be concerned about anything about the Green Bay Packers ever again.
We should be concerned about the penalties. You should be concerned about Quay Walker. You should be concerned about plenty of things. But there are good players on the team. They're not just singularly focused on one quarterback's performance. They can win with Jordan Love being 75% of what we saw him last year at the end of the second half.
And what was he in week one?
He was 50%.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, he has to be better than he was week one.
Yeah, of course.
So am I allowed to be concerned? Because now I have to run everything through Joshy. I've got to run through all my concerns have to be run through Joshy.
Do you have joy? Do you experience fun?
Yeah.
Do you experience
good
times?
I had fun during the game yesterday.
Because right now, I'm less than 12 hours removed, 24 hours removed from that game, and I don't think you had fun.
I had a lot of fun. Had a great time.
You're doing a bad job of showing it.
Had a great time. But we're talking about Jordan Love right now. Am I allowed to be concerned about Jordan Love, who did not play well in week one, And he's supposed to get sharp by not playing the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, but it's Jordan Love. We've seen him play well. It's not like the Malik Willis thing where we had no evidence of him playing well. So, yeah, I'm going to bet on the guy that just got paid all that money that looked like the best quarterback in the NFL for the second half of the season.
Just based on what?
Based on what I saw him do the last time he played well. Like,
which was how long ago?
Great. Okay, like what?
But what I'm saying is, like, okay, the larger point here is you get better, you get sharper at football by playing.
Yeah.
They didn't do anything in the preseason. The NFL preseason's now, realistically, because even in Chewy's day, they barely played in the last preseason game, right? Like, that was for all the backups, all that. So you had three games. So I look at this as these three games are the preseason. Those are your time to get sharp. Now we hit week four. If your team isn't looking sharp, like, you're probably going to have some issues. Like, you're just trying to survive. You're trying to win as many games as you can. And then you're trying to hit the ground running and starting to look a little sharper. And when your starting quarterback, who didn't look great in week one, doesn't play for 2 weeks, I'm not just suddenly expecting him to go out there and be 28 for 29 for 417 yards and 17 touchdowns like you are.
Yeah, but no, I'm not, actually. But the point I'm making is, the roster, the offensive skill players, and the head coach are good enough to do that without Jordan Love being the best quarterback in the NFL. I believe that Josh Jacobs, that Christian Watson, Romeo Doubs, Ontavian Wicks, Jaden Reed, and all those guys are good enough with a rush offense that we know can just pound the ball if they need to, they can get creative, that those guys are going to be good enough to get a win. Because I don't believe the Vikings are the NFC champions. I'm sorry if you believe that's the case. I could be wrong. But that's a team that their narrative can change in literally 1 week. So I'm not supposed, like, I don't know what to
I'm supposed to celebrate all things Packers and not celebrate anything else. You're just being the biggest toad in the world, man.
Yeah, that's such a thing you guys use as defense because you're trying to protect everything. Like, dude, just
What am I protecting?
Your emotions.
They played well yesterday. But objectively looking at this game, like, the Vikings have played better this year than the Packers.
Yeah, and the Packers are favored by 2.
At home.
Yeah.
So on a neutral
site,
who's favored?
We don't know who the quarterback is yet.
We know the quarterback's Jordan.
Does Vegas?
Yes.
Okay. So that's, you don't expect this number to go up when he gets confirmed in?
It will.
Yeah.
I guarantee it. You're telling me Vegas isn't going to open the door to be taken advantage of. Like, my guess is they're anticipating.
Well, they've taken a bath the past 2 weeks on the Packers. So.
All right, listen, guys. As entertaining as that was for all of us, and I will say it was very entertaining. Joshy asked if you experienced joy. The joy I experienced during that segment is through the roof. Okay, so thank you very much to both of you for that. 800-990-3776. If you want to react to anything that Josh said or Gabe said about how they are feeling respectively about the Packers win, about them winning two games with Malik Willis under center, about the defense showing up, about special teams not losing games but being assets out there, let us know. 800-990-3776. I will say this. I've been watching the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line for 4 years now. I have never seen it pop off the way that it did during that 7-minute stretch. So we will get to some of that reaction right after this.
You've probably heard about employee stock ownership plans before, but what separates Fifth Third Bank from others when it comes to these plans? A succession plan that benefits business owners and employees from full and partial sales, second stage transactions, repurchase obligation financing, and seller note refinancing. ESOPs can offer tax advantages, increased liquidity, employee incentives, and overall diversification of net worth to help your company plan for the future. Fifth Third Bank National Association. Custom solutions built around your goals. Member FDIC.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Just jump on it.
That's what he did.
Jump on it. Slow down. On 94.5 ESPN.
Victory Monday is brought to you by Palermo's Pizza, Wisconsin's hometown pizza, with delicious brands like Palermo's, Connie's Urban Pie, and Screamin' Sicilian. Palermo's has your game day covered. Find Palermo's in your local grocer's freezer.
Back here on on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy celebrating. That's right, celebrating a Packers victory yesterday over the Titans. Malik Willis in his second start as a member of the Green Bay Packers, getting the job done. And the reaction rolling in fast and furious on the ESPN Milwaukee talk and text line. Ha ha, I'm so with Joshy right now, that from Justin. Chef Ed saying, you're taking the words right out of my mouth. She keep it up. Gabe, you can't have it every way. We had to listen to you say Malik sucks 100 different ways a week ago. Now you're downplaying him and his performance. Then Sean says they should have had 26 against the Colts. Jacobs fumbled at the goal line. Narv Dog missed a field goal. That game should have been 26-10, followed up by a win on the road 30-14. Dan says, Gabe, you can go home. You are ruining my morning. Josh says, somebody remind Gabe it's a victory Monday. Save your concerns for the rest of the week. I like that, though, because he's saying you should have concerns.
Sure.
Just don't talk about them right now.
Well, again, well, I was asked a question. I answered the question. I don't know how much Joshy can be trusted. He's given out sacks to guys who didn't even have sacks. I think the Packers had 15 sacks yesterday, according to Josh.
It wasn't Joshy. It was whoever he made the bet through that paid him out on a sack.
That is true.
Rashawn Gary.
I still count the one that got taken away in my personal record book, by the way. So
he's going to have one more at the end of the year.
NFL might not count it, but I will. I'll tack it on.
And underdog fantasy for whatever reason. Like, so wait, did they give him credit for a half sack on underdog? Yeah, I'm fascinated by how you got paid out for this.
I think what they do, and they do this on occasion, is if somebody makes a play and, like, for whatever reason it gets taken away, they will, like, just say, hey, you won. Like, they as a benefit to the consumer.
Because there were definitely a couple times where Gary at the end...
He found himself on some top of piles.
Where he tried to, like, jump on to grab an extra half. Oh, like, hey, I'm right here, guys. Give me a half a sack.
I mean, that was the old A.J. Hawk after a while. He was making plays 14 yards downfield and jumping on the back of a receiver.
Get a nice little half tackle.
Yeah, and then next thing you know, he had 14 tackles on the day.
Speaking of bets, guys, I was making my way down to Illinois yesterday. We had a birthday party for my nephew, who is one. And I heard Gabe on the pregame show talk about the Will Levis prop bet of, it was half of an interception. And you said,
basically,
hammer that sucker.
Basically, yes or no, will Levis turn the
will
ball over?
Throw an interception.
Yes.
So because I was not over at Pottawatomie Sportsbook, as you know, I like to make my wagers over there with our friends at Pottawatomie, but I was on my way down to Illinois. I rolled up the MGM Bet app. Sure as you know what, there it was.
Easy.
Will Levis. Hey, I'm excited. Sure as you know what, it was there. Half a sack. I was like, over? Drop some money on that, but I wasn't in Illinois yet. Uh-huh. I was at Kenosha. I was at Pleasant Prairie. I was about to enter Illinois. As soon as it said, welcome to Illinois, I hit the place bet button and it said, sorry, it was 12:01. The game had started. The prop bets had closed.
Well, you can't... Are there no live in-game prop bets? You can't. I don't dive into the gambling world. But once the game starts, you can't do any like live betting with prop bets.
That's all done before.
Yeah, some of them you can, but it's mainly like rushing yards, receiving yards. I think one of the when it is like a hey, this is a half, this is a yes or no. Mm-hmm. I don't think. I bet you once he throws one, you might be able to bet on throwing another.
Can he throw, which you would have cashed in on yesterday as well.
Yeah, I did find it fascinating to actually like. Talk about the game here is Will Levis got yelled at for being way too chaotic and throwing interceptions while falling to the ground. That turned into him just getting effing teed off on. Like, he was very clearly not making those erratic style plays, but still making mistakes and still taking, like, his coach, whatever they said that week of practice, was bad. Like, he clearly underperformed even what we've seen from him in the past.
We got to take a break on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We are past the top of the hour, and we have a lot of stuff to get to as well. Oh, hey, the Brewers got a big win yesterday, so we will obviously touch upon that. Justin says this. The Vikings get all the flowers from Gabe after 3 weeks, but the Packers got to keep proving it. Blah, blah, blah. Which team has a coach that has actually been to the playoffs multiple times with different quarterbacks?
Jen.
Why are the Vikings getting so much credit? We'll dive into that.
It's pretty easy.
I mean, they won 3 games.
they beat the Texans.
That was a tease. What the hell? Jen Gabe and Chewy rolls on after this.